This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to week two of the official Raiders podcast. I'm your host, JT. We'll get you ready for the Raiders home opener coming up against the Houston Texans this Sunday at O.co Coliseum. And John McClain will join us, one of the premier NFL insiders from the Houston Chronicle. Raiders coming off their first game of the year, the road game at the Jets, where they lost the game by a score of 19-14. Some of the positives for the Silver and Black: Derek Carr, his first start at quarterback. I thought he was able to handle the pressure. He was ready for prime time. He started fast, 7-for-7, on a day where he did not throw an interception. Now, Carr was limited throwing the ball downfield. A beautiful touchdown to James Jones. He finished the day 20-of-32 for 151 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions, and had a quarterback rating of 94.7. The problem for the Raiders, they struggled rushing the football in the game, only 25 yards rushing on 15 attempts, and the Jets ran the ball for 212 yards. The big run, Chris Ivory's 71-yard touchdown. Charles Woodson had an interception in the game, proving that C. Wood can still make plays in this league. And how about the Raiders in the game? Only four penalties for 20 yards, no turnovers. But a loss is a loss, and now the Raiders got to get up for their home opener and get up in a big way as the Houston Texans come to town. And the Texans won their first game of the year against the Redskins by a score of 17-6. In that game, Arian Foster, 27 carries for 103 yards, and J.J. Watt is an absolute beast. Speaking of J.J. Watt, he comments on going up against the rookie quarterback this Sunday in Derek Carr.
I think any time a rookie quarterback is named a starter in the NFL, it shows that his coaches and his teammates have confidence in him. And for you to be able to earn their confidence and trust in such a short amount of time says a lot about you. They have respect for him and they believe in him. So that says to me that he's done a great job preparing himself. He's done a great job going out to practice every day and executing. And he's done a great job watching film and researching, because it's not easy to play in this league.
Watt will have to be blocked. It'll have to be an offensive lineman, a tight end. Do the Raiders run right at him? He's the best and most expensive defensive player in the NFL. The Raiders are going to have to account for him on every single play. Dennis Allen evaluating Derek Carr back against the Jets.
Overall, I saw some positive signs, some things that he did well. I obviously saw some mistakes, but it's a great opportunity for him to learn. It's a great opportunity for him to grow from this. You know, he faced one of the better defenses in the league today, and he'll learn from it, and he'll get better from it.
So for the Raiders, it's simple: win the game, get to 1-1, and get ready for the longest road trip in the NFL this year. The Raiders, after this game, will fly next week to take on the Patriots in New England, and then after that game, they'll fly to London to host the Miami Dolphins. A win against the Texans is a must before they start that big road trip. Joining us on the official Raiders podcast, one of the most respected NFL insiders in America from the Houston Chronicle, John McClain joins us. John, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure, JT.
Hey, John, let's get back to Houston's win against RG3 and the Redskins in week one, Bill O'Brien's first win. What worked in that game and came together for the Texans, the team coming off two wins last year?
The offense was very mediocre. Ryan Fitzpatrick didn't have an interception. He wasn't sacked, but they didn't move the ball well until the fourth quarter when they were trying to move the chains, control the clock, and get enough field goal to give them a little breathing distance with a 14-6 lead, which is what they were able to do. They were terrible in the first quarter. I mean, they just looked as bad as they did for most of preseason on offense. Now, Arian Foster came back, first time he's played. He missed almost 10 full games last year, missed all the preseason, carried 27 times for 103 yards, most against an 8-man front. Long run was 10 yards, most between the tackles. So he got those yards the hard way. But their passing game, you take away a 76-yard pass to DeAndre Hopkins, and Ryan Fitzpatrick's stats were not good, certainly nothing like the Raiders saw last year in Oakland when he had a great game to help the Titans beat the Raiders. And the Texans don't want him throwing the ball that much. They don't. They want him to hand off a lot, play it safe, don't turn it over. So from that standpoint, JT did what he was supposed to do. They had great special teams play, blocked a punt for a touchdown by rookie running back Alfred Blue. J.J. Watt got an extra point that kept the game 14-6 that, based on the way the Texans collapsed every week last year, we kept thinking they'd score and have to go for two. So that blocked extra point was big. Shane Leckler averaged 51 yards per punt. Randy Bullock kicked the field goal. So their special teams were good. The only touchdown they allowed was the only bad thing they did on special teams, allowed a 25-yard punt return to the 46. So Washington's touchdown was on a 46-yard drive. Now, two times they forced the Redskins to have fumbles inside the 8-yard line, and Arian Foster fumbled inside the 10-yard line. So three red zone turnovers, two of the Redskins, one by the Texans, played a very prominent role in the outcome.
John McClain joins us. He's the member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame Selection Committee, and I want to bring that in and tie that in to J.J. Watt. You've covered and met some of the greatest defensive players to ever play this game. John, tell me about him, the new contract, and what he's like covering this guy every day. Seems like he works around the clock and wants to get better.
What you think he is what he is. There's nothing phony about him. It's not a publicity thing. The night after he agreed to a $100 million contract that made him the highest paid defensive player in history, he couldn't sleep, so he went to the stadium, started lifting weights at 3 in the morning. And that's the way he is. He's a workout freak. He does more charity work than any player. He's single. He can do that now. He said, I'd rather do that than lay around on the couch and watching TV highlight shows. So he's great in the community. Fans love him. He's from a suburb of Milwaukee called Pewaukee, and he says when he goes back to Wisconsin, he's just a blue-collar kid from Pewaukee. Houston, it's a lot different. He can't go anywhere publicly because he gets mobbed because he's so popular. Now, he was embarrassed when I guarantee you, JT, when he did the news conference, he was embarrassed about the $100 million. I knew he wanted to have a special game. He wouldn't admit he did, but he had a great game. He had a sack. He had 5 tackles. He had a sack taken away. He hit Robert Griffin III 5 times. He had a forced fumble, recovered fumble. He blocked an extra point, and like their owner said, he did everything but intercept the pass and return it for a touchdown. And they move him around so teams can't focus on him. And I guarantee you the Raiders have talked to Antonio Smith and Matt Schaub about him. You know, Maurice Jones-Drew, seen him twice a year since 3 years watching him in the league. So there's a lot of players familiar with him. But he's hard to stop because he's so quick and strong and relentless. And they do move him around. And that helps. That forces everybody on the line of scrimmage as well as the tight ends and the running backs to be aware of him, because at some point they're all going to have a piece of him.
You're listening to the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.
John McClain joins us. John, real disappointing for the Texans fans that Jadeveon Clowney not only got injured and had surgery. What were your expectations for him? He was criticized coming out of college for his last season, maybe for taking plays off. He didn't have a lot of sacks. We know they were double teaming him. What was he like in the preseason when you had a chance to sit down with him, and what are his expectations this year coming off the surgery?
First of all, JT, they moved him to outside linebacker in a 3-4 position that he hadn't played. He played with his hand in the dirt his entire college career going forward or laterally. For the first time, they stood him up. And even though he's not going to drop into coverage much, he had to learn it anyway, and it's a slow process. What they do with their linebackers is very complicated. Mike Vrabel, who won 3 Super Bowl rings with the Patriots, made the same transition when he left Ohio State for Pittsburgh in the NFL. He's teaching it to him, but he's had injuries. He had a sports hernia and the OTAs, and that slowed him to start a camp. Then he got a concussion that kept him out of 2 games. Now he's got surgery to repair. Torn meniscus, going to keep him out 4-6 games. Fact is, he's way behind in the learning process. When he comes back, they should just line him up in passing situations, say, get the quarterback. Because the guy's taking his place, Whitney Merciless, number one pick in 2012. Last two preseason games and against the Redskins, he's played very well. He's way ahead of where Clowney was. And Clowney flashed in the preseason when he played, but he didn't play all that much. And so it's almost like last year he had a groin injury and a concussion at South Carolina. So now he's had sports hernia, concussion, and the meniscus. And so it's almost like you can't count on him at this point. You hope when he comes back he's healthy and he's never injured again, but I believe it when I see it.
John, how important was it for the Texans to have a culture change from the Kubiak era now to Bill O'Brien? What are you impressed about with this coaching staff, the new coaching staff, and the way they're going about it differently?
They lost 9 games last year by 7 or fewer points. They lost 5 by 4 or fewer. So a lot of them, they led good teams, blew it at the end. They led division leaders. They played the AFC West, the NFC West, the two strongest conferences, and they just, those 14 losses, they just expected to lose. So they fired Kubiak with 3 games left. They brought in Bill O'Brien. Bill is a very intense coach. He's that proverbial butt kicker you bring in after you have a player's coach that people perceive as being easier. And he is very serious. He's not a Bill Belichick clone at all. But he is a serious guy. He's got a lot of rules, as most of these college coaches do when they come in. He's an offensive-oriented coach, even though he played defense at Brown in the Ivy League. And right now he's very popular because they're 1-0. But mainly he's got to teach these guys how to win, how not to blow close games. 2 years ago, they were 7-0 in one-score games. All of a sudden, they lose a game here last year to Seattle in overtime, didn't win another one. Straight down the tubes. That game against Seattle just sucked the life out of them.
John McClain's our guest from the Houston Chronicle. John, let's move over to the Oakland Raiders and Matt Schaub. After seeing what happened last year, he comes over to Oakland for some big money. It looked like he was a lock to be the starter. The Raiders go in a different direction with Reggie McKenzie, and they bring in Derek Carr. Are you surprised that Schaub did not make it through the preseason, come out of it as the starter?
I am surprised. I thought when you take a veteran like that and you give him a 2-year redo his contract, give him 2 years, there was all that talk about he's supposed to save jobs. And Matt, when he was hurt here, it was serious injuries. And then it looked like he didn't play very well. And, you know, Matt McGloin, in his debut last year, threw 3 touchdown passes here. I kept thinking maybe the Raiders would cut him and they would bring him in here. But it looked to me like he played better than Schaub, too. Strange to see Derek Carr. He used to run around here when he was in 9th grade and junior high on the sideline and in high school. Andre Johnson's talked this week. He likes high school football. He used to go with David Carr to watch Derek play at Clemens High School here. And he used to throw it all over the place there, too. So from a media standpoint, I would have loved to have had Matt as a quarterback, but if you cannot have Matt, Derek's not a bad story either.
John, look at all the changes in Oakland. Justin Tuck, you mentioned Smith on the defensive line, Woodley, Maurice Jones-Drew, a healthy McFadden, a young quarterback, but they have a running offensive line, and they came off a game at the Jets where the Raiders only had 4 penalties in that game and no turnovers. What's the tough matchup for the Texans in this game at Oakland? It's the Raiders' home opener, considering the Raiders are going to have to keep an eye on Watt and that great running back that the Texans have in Arian Foster.
It's strange, JT. The Texans have been good in Oakland, and Oakland's won the last 2 here. And based on what happened against the Jets, you give up more than 200 yards, and I realized 71 was Chris Ivory. So the Texans are going to run the ball. There's no surprise. They'll try to run Arian Foster, and I expect the Raiders, after they've watched the tape, they'll see Jim Haslett played a lot of 4-man fronts and limited the Texans to fewer than 4 yards a carry. So we'll see a lot of 8-man fronts. They will. Now, they may not dare Fitzpatrick to throw because last year Fitzpatrick had a great game out there, but everybody here has never seen Fitzpatrick have that kind of game. And they want to keep it close, don't turn it over, make the safe throw. So I would imagine the Texans will try to run it. They'll even run against eight-man fronts, and they'll try to shut down the run like the Jets did, and they'll want Derek Carr to pass because the strength of their team is their front seven. Watt and their two other players, Brooks Reed, outside linebacker, had a great game. If it wasn't for Watt having an extraordinary game, we'd all be talking about Brooks Reed. And then DJ Swearinger, their second-year strong safety, he had a great game too. So they will do everything they can with their front seven to get after Derek Carr.
John, last one. Al Davis has inducted more Hall of Famers than anyone in Canton, Ohio. Your great relationship with the Hall of Fame in that city. Let's wrap this up with an Al Davis story and your friendship with him when he was alive.
I used to talk to Al and ask Al about players. We used to talk about the old AFL, even though I didn't start covering the NFL in 1977. But I watched the AFL because it was so much more exciting than the NFL when I was a kid. He talked to me about what it was like to coach with the Chargers with Sid Gilman when they lost the first two championships. But one time I asked Al, I said, what former Raider in your mind is most deserving of being in the Hall of Fame? And this was about 5 years ago. And he said, Cliff Branch. And Cliff, of course, is from Houston, a great receiver, but there were a lot of great players out there. I'm glad we finally put Ray Guy in. I'm on the seniors committee, too. But I was stunned when he said Cliff Branch, because Cliff's never gotten a lot of run. The Raider that I think deserves the most, when people ask me, they say, what quarterback do you think deserves to be in the Hall of Fame the most who's not in there? And I say Kenny Stabler.
John, fabulous talking to you. It means a lot that you came on with us. All the best. I'll see you a bunch down the road here, and thanks for joining us today.
That sounds great. I look forward to coming out there. Appreciate it, JT.
You're listening to the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.
Welcome back. Joining us, one of my favorite players in the NFL, several-time Pro Bowler for the Raiders, now the great punter for the Houston Texans, Shane Lechler joins us. Shane, great catching up with you. How you been?
Doing good, JT. Doing good.
Good to hear from you. A 1-0 start to have the home opener and win to beat the Redskins. What did that mean to get off to a quick start this year?
Well, you know, it felt good. It'd been a while. You know, we'd lost 14 straight. If you think back last year, regular season games, and to get off to a good start, you know, a win at home, and it wasn't a pretty win, but hey, a win's a win in this league. They're hard to come by, and I know that from experience, so I'll take it any way we can get it.
Shane, how's this transition been with the coaching staff from Coach Kubiak now to Bill O'Brien, the culture, everything that's happening there? Has it fit you well, this new system?
Yeah, it's been really good. You know, I've enjoyed the change, and, it's kind of like I said, it's been good. I've been through a bunch of coaching changes throughout my career, and, this one's been good. Bill's doing a great job. I enjoy playing for him, and, I've learned a lot from him this year, too. We do a lot of situational stuff, and he teaches a lot of good football, and I've liked it a lot.
Tell me about what it's like playing with J.J. Watt, the most expensive player now in the history of the league, at his position. Did he take you guys out for a good meal after that contract?
No, he didn't, but, I tell you what, of all people, that guy deserves it, man. His work ethic is unbelievable, and just how he leads our team and takes care of himself on and off the field. He's a real pro, and I congratulated him, and it's a great contract for him, and I was happy to see him get it done.
Multiple Pro Bowler Shane Lechler is our guest. Shane, what's it mean, the return to Oakland, for you? Because you really have a great connection with those fans. You left on good terms. Those fans care about you a bunch. And I know you have mixed feelings here, but you got to go out and win a football game.
Yeah, I do. You know, I'm looking forward to the trip, looking forward to seeing the fans and seeing everybody. You know, whether I'm clapped or booed, it doesn't really matter. I know that they appreciate me, and I appreciated them for the long time that I was there. I'm looking forward to it. When I saw it on the schedule, it was one of those games you kind of mark, and I knew it was going to come up sooner or later. So I'm glad to get the chance to go out there early in the season and get to play on that infield one more time.
You had a great relationship and still do with Sebastian Janikowski. Whenever I looked up, you guys were together like brothers. What's that relationship mean to you? You're both in the league. You both had a lot of individual success, team success early in your career. Talk about that friendship.
Yeah, man, that thing is that friendship is great. You know, it's one of those things, and we keep in touch on a weekly basis still. I mean, I still shoot him a text. He'll shoot me one before every game. You know, just wishing him good luck, and he does the same for me. And you know, I talk to him a lot, you know, a lot about other things too, just about family and how his kids are doing, and he asks the same questions. But our friendship, man, that started back, you know, almost all the way back to – oh, gosh, the Playball American deals when we first met. I was a junior in college, and we met out in Phoenix for that photo deal. And you know, I've known him ever since. They were, you know, Al drafted us together in that class of 2000. And he's a great friend of mine, will always be a big part in my life professionally and personally. So, you know, my hat's off to that guy, man. He had a bad rap early. I tell you what, there's not a better person in the NFL than him.
You're listening to the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.
Shane Lechler, kind enough to join us. What did it mean to you when Ray Guy got into the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
You know, I was very happy for Ray. You know, somebody to break the ice, not only as a punter, but as a guy, you know, a fellow Raider and a guy that kind of put that position on the map. It wasn't, you know, once he got into the Hall of Fame, and I think once he actually made the name for punters back, you know, in the 70s and stuff, that man, you know, that wasn't just another player on the team. You know, he showed the role that we play in games as far as field position. And I was happy for Ray, especially, you know, getting in. And I watched the, you know, his induction speech and then seeing all the punters that were there in the stands, you know, congratulating him and supporting him. That was a great deal.
Shane, how much do you have left? I mean, you're a punter in this league. You're in shape. I know you're active in the off season. We'll talk about that, but for you, you have a long career in front of you. It seems like this is a good fit for you, closer to home. How's the transition been for your family and your friends?
You know, it's been really good for the family. You know, my kids, I'm not moving them back and forth anymore, you know, from school. That's what we did. We'd go 6 months, they'd be in out there till Christmas break, and I'd move them home here to Houston and in the off season. And you know, now they're stable in the same schools, and you know, it's easier to find when you're here year-round. They're used to babysitters or whoever's going to take care of them. And I got my parents are still here. My wife's parents are here. Both sets of my grandparents are still here. So, you know, it's one of those things where the transition was really easy for me, though, you know, learning a new organization was a little bit on the difficult side since I'd been in Oakland for 13 years. I knew everybody in the building and everybody that had a part to do with the Raiders. Learning this new, you know, just everybody's name around our facility here in Houston was probably the toughest part, but they, you know, they welcomed me with open arms, and I think it's been a good fit so far.
Hey, finally, you know, I'm a Long Island guy who married into a hunter's family, so I'm not original like you. What'd you do in the off season, hunting and fishing? How were you able to turn it down a notch and enjoy the outdoors?
You know, it's good. I have a house down in Rockport, Texas, down by Corpus, and I have a house down there on the water, and I have a boat, so man, I fish and the kids love fishing. So we do all that all summer and dove season just started here in Texas. So I guess last Tuesday I took some of the guys out to my mom's place and we were able to shoot quite a few birds and have a good time. And it's good to do that because you kind of get relationships with some of the teammates away from the football field and, you know, get to know what they're really like.
I'll see you Sunday on the sidelines. Thanks a lot for joining us. Continued success and good health, Chan.
Thanks, JT. Looking forward to it, man.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.